Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
Wow.
Dwayne Wade.
It has just been a year of breaking news. And if you're just tuning in, Scotty, some big breaking news a little earlier in the show today.
Dwayne Wade is now a part owner of the Utah Jazz.
You did not hear that wrong.
Nope. Just in case you're new to the program right now, yes, Dwayne Wade, part owner of the Utah Jazz. Again, we don't know what the percentage was. We don't know how much of a percentage he has in the Jazz. NBA bylaws require at least 1% of the valuation of the team to become an owner. So that would put a bare minimum of about $20 million that Dwayne would have to purchase to be part of this Jazz ownership group. But according to both Ryan Smith and Dwayne Wade, this is something that's been in the works for quite some time. And that I think that both sides have kind of been wooing each other a little bit. But Ryan just tweeted out and said that to Dwayne Wade, thanks for choosing us. Because I'm sure Dwayne Wade could have taken hit that percentage and given it to anybody in the league. And anybody would have said, yep, welcome aboard. We'd love to have you. The fact that it's with the Utah Jazz, I think, says a lot about this organization, says a lot about his relationship with Donovan Mitchell, his relationship with Ryan Smith, the culture and the focus that this Jazz organization is trying to go to and trying to use its platform for change and for some opportunities to share a message that I think probably the are not just the state, but the entire country needs to hear and to have those common values and those common common hopes of being able to spread that message, help facilitate this and get this to where it needed to be.
This is a quote in a piece that Adrian Wojnarowski put out. Dwayne, this is Ryan Smith talking. Dwayne has had a chance to be a part of so many different ownership groups if he wanted that. We've basically been in discussions from the time we closed on the team on how we can get this done. So they've been, as soon as Ryan was able to acquire the Utah Jazz, they've been in talks with Dwayne Wade. The Utah Jazz just sent out a tweet of Dwayne Wade and Ryan Smith standing next to each other, and it just says on site. So
probably you'll see Dwayne Wade at a game today.
Yeah, that would be my guess. My question was kind of, well, when does this all activate? Because the sooner the better, and it looks like it's activating now.
Yeah.
It kind of feels like Dwayne Wade is going to be shifting it into gear and is going to be a part of this right now. And look, where the Jazz are right now with the league leading record and currently holding court in the West, now is as good a time as any. This is as good of a Jazz team as we've had in this market since I've been on sports radio for the last 15 years. I think that this is as good, if not a better team than that team that made it to the Western Conference Finals, the Carlos Boozer and Deron Williams team. And right now is the best time for him to be a part of this. What kinds of things, if I'm Dwayne Wade, I come into this organization right now and I think to myself, what kinds of things can I help do to instill a championship mentality and a championship culture? What kinds of things can I do? Because they've got so many things going for them. And Dwayne Wade's intelligent. He's not going to come in and try to overstep his bounds. He's going to come in and say, what things can I do to give them a boost? How can I give them any type of boost?
Yeah. Because also, when you want to get your message out and you want to help, when's the best time that people are listening to you? It's when you're winning. And there's a lot of priorities for this Jazz ownership group and a lot of goals. And I think when bringing a championship here to Salt Lake City is obviously number one on that list. And Dwayne Wade knows that. There's a guy that's been a champion, knows what it takes to be a champion. And to have him, to have even more contact with Donovan Mitchell and this team and the players in this locker room, can't ask for a better person to be a mentor on not only handle yourself on the court, what you do off the court, how you prepare for games. I mean, it's about as good as it gets right there.
Well, think about the cultures that Dwayne Wade has been around, where he's worked with Shaquille O'Neal, and he's been with LeBron James, and he's been a part of multiple championships. He's been the lead guy on an NBA championship, and he's been a piece on an NBA championship. He's been all the way around different ways of winning in the NBA. And he understands what it takes. And, man, I think that there are so many positive influences that he can have on the Utah Jazz and their ability to win, to retain players and to win.
Yeah, yep.
I know that there's a couple of different categories you look at when you're talking about Dwayne Wade being a part owner of the Utah Jazz. Obviously the main one that comes to my mind instantly is his ability to help the Jazz retain players and win. Retain players, gain players, and win.
Yes.
That's the first thing. But a very, very, very close second is his ability to generate a more positive perception of the Utah Jazz. And to shed more light on a community and a state and a city that I love, that from time to time gets beat up a little bit. People love to beat up Salt Lake City. They love to beat up Utah.
Well, okay, let's take it a step further, and Lloyd brought this up. Hey, Dwayne Wade has had the Jazz back like crazy after Shaquille O'Neal has been throwing haymaker after haymaker at Rudy Gobert and at Donovan Mitchell. And I think, obviously, this has been in the works during that process. But also, I think that's really going to help when you have a guy that says, "And Donovan Mitchell's not that guy. He's not going to be that guy. He's a good player, but he's not that guy." Or Rudy Gobert doesn't deserve the money he's going to get. And get a guy like Dwayne Wade. No, Donovan Mitchell is that guy. Rudy Gobert's probably worth more money than what the Jazz are paying him. But he's a great dude and realized he didn't need the Supermax and wanted to build a winner around him. So instead of dragging him through the mud, you should congratulate him for being a team guy and saying, "Look what I'm doing to help make sure that there's a winner here and we have money to help pay players so we can win a championship here."
Well, thinking back to that time, it does feel like Dwayne Wade was prepared and ready.
Yeah.
Kind of like to that clip that we played of Shaq doing the thing over at Zell's or whatever. And when he said, "Actually, I'm doing stuff with them," that was his baby. You know, we talked about players not wanting to step on other players' shoes or whatever. This is now Dwayne Wade's.
I wonder if
Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, I do know what you're saying. I wonder if it was quiet throughout relationships. Like, I wonder if Shaquille had any idea. I wonder if this is catching everybody off guard. I don't think you could have told Shaquille this news and him kept it quiet. I think there's probably some guys you don't tell. But this is now the second time in whatever it is, 8 months, 9 months, that the Utah Jazz have kept things extremely quiet. I mean, in fact, Scotty, we found out 5 minutes into our show that Ryan Smith had bought the Jazz from Gail Miller.
It was on our way to the show.
Oh, was it just five or ten minutes before the show?
Yep.
About 8 months ago?
It was what, October, I want to say? October, November, around there.
Wow.
Talk about something that rattles you to the core when you see that Woj tweet pop up.
Yeah. And this one is, it's not quite to that level, but this one, I think it just brings more excitement than it does curiosity. I mean, for us, there was all kinds of, outliers and
yeah.
We didn't know how things would affect us
a little bit more than maybe this one.
Yeah,
I'm guessing Shaq didn't know because he probably.
I don't think he knew.
He wouldn't have said what he was saying had he known what Dwayne Wade was.
Probably
was
not.
No,
I just don't think many people knew at all. They kept this extremely quiet,
as they always do.
It's pretty impressive to see that this thing didn't leak out. Because if I'm Ryan, man, I'm telling everybody. Hey, man, guess who I got coming to the Jazz? Keep this under wraps, though. But I got Dwayne Wade coming. I'd be telling, when I'm paying for gas at Maverick, I'm like, hey, keep this on the DL, but I got Dwayne Wade coming here.
Dwayne Wade's going to be a part.
Do you want me to change your oil to? Okay,
sir, this is a Chick-fil-A. I know, but just
yeah. But I got to tell somebody.
I'm just saying. Yeah, I mean props. I this thing was a because you can tell this didn't come out until the Jazz wanted it to come out.
Yeah. Well,
by the way, did you see Frank Zhang down in the?
Yeah.
Frank was probably banging out the press release at that point.
Yeah, he would have been.
Our buddy Frank Zhang, who runs communications for the Utah Jazz.
So you guys saw him. What was he? How was he?
He was hovering over a laptop.
Okay. You didn't think anything was up. He was just.
No,
there.
It's because it's a game day.
I made a crack that the guy goes, security goes, which one are you? Are you Hans or are you Scott? I'm like, I'm Scott. I'm like, Hans wishes he was this good looking. And Frank's over like, bah, ha, 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 ha.
When I walked in, Frank goes, I'm not going to say anything about how Scotty might have said that he's better looking than you. That's what Frank said.
Did he really?
Yeah. I was like, all right. Like, I don't want to cause any problems with that show.
But
I don't want to say that he would have said anything. It was funny.
Now Scotty had said he had a better nose than you.
I would never say that.
Look, the nose is all I got.
I don't know. Scotty's got a pretty good nose.
God didn't give me a lot to work with, but he gave me a good nose.
Gave me a pretty good nose.
Good smeller.
All right, 11:24, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network. Good, better, best coming up next. Hans and Scotty right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Joined now by Thor Nystrom. He writes for NBC Sports Edge. Covers the NFL draft. Zach Wilson's climb up the draft board. If he goes number two to the Jets, like everyone seems to think he is, how much faith do you have in the Jets going forward?
Yeah, that's a tough question historically to ask anyone. As far as the decision with Wilson, you had to pay a prohibitive cost to do that transition from Sam Darnold to Wilson, right? There's a little bit too much risk in Wilson's profile for me personally to have been willing to pay that price, but I certainly understand where they're coming from. You don't see players with that kind of an arm come into the league every year. It was lasers everywhere. The jump up he took, I would understand wanting to stake the future of my franchise on that arm.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners. And, well, the winners. It's the good, the better, and the best. Now here's the good.
Remember last year? How many straight months did we do good, better, best?
About five.
Those were tough times.
We just stayed good, better, best. All positive news all the time.
Last year at this time when COVID hit, we're all scared to death. Nobody's working except for us hammering on the radio. Everybody else is at home doing their working and all kinds of crazy stuff going on. Hans came up with a great idea. Said, look, let's be positive. Let's go good. Instead of good, bad, ugly, let's go good, better, best.
As positive as we could.
And we did that for a while. And then after a while, it's like, okay, now it's time to.
Not going to lie, it was tough to drum up some that many positive stories over a five-month period.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't a lot positive that was going on. The good, Scotty, I'm really happy about this. And I this might go directly against Utah Jazz fans' senses, but I'm happy to see that Anthony Davis has been cleared for full contact practice and that his return to live action is coming very, very shortly. He's 28 years old. He sat out of last night's loss against the Boston Celtics, and he is termed unlikely to play in the upcoming games against the Utah Jazz, which are tomorrow and then Monday. But Coach Vogel left things just slightly more open than that. He said it is not completely out of the question for Davis to make his return against the Utah Jazz. That's what Coach Vogel said. So we might see Drummond, Schroeder, Davis, we might see a Lakers team sans LeBron James in the next two games that the Utah Jazz play after their matinee today. I'd like to see it. I want to see, you know me, Scotty, I like to see good basketball.
I do too, and I want to see the Jazz play against good teams.
That's all I want to see.
And even if I don't think he'll play in these two games, maybe the second game, and even if he does play, he'll be on a severe minute restriction. But I want to see him out there.
I think he plays in the second game.
I think I would agree with that. And also, you know what this also means is that LeBron's close to coming back. Because I don't think AD's coming back just to wait around for LeBron to come back at the playoffs. Like, I think this team realizes they need to be in, you know, they can't fall down to 5 or 6 in the where they stand right now. I think they are at 5.
They're at 5.
And you can't fall much further than that, or else you get yourself into a little bit of trouble.
They're 2 games ahead of 6.
And so I think they're getting to the point now where they're ready to put their foot down and on the gas and let's go.
Well, we remember, too, well, I don't even want to make that guess. I was thinking to myself, the Denver Nuggets are probably going to fall. The Lakers could probably, if they get back and get some health going, the Lakers could probably climb back up that board. With Denver falling.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know how much Denver is going to fall. Denver's still going to win a lot of regular season games. I know they lost 2 in a row to the Warriors and the Celtics, but they beat the Heat the other night. Remind me if I'm wrong, but I think that they're 2-2 since Jamal went out.
Not sure.
Let me pull this up really quick.
Yeah, I don't have that up right now, but that sounds about right. And they'll hang in there. There's still a ton of talent on that team. It's not like they're going to fall off the face of the earth.
But, and that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't think that they fall off the face of the regular season earth. I just think that they do fall. And yes, Scotty, that is correct. No, they are 3-2 since losing Jamal.
Hands and Scotty, 11:33. Lloyd, that's your good. Let's get to the better.
And now the better.
All right, so the only starting quarterback to win a Super Bowl for the Chicago Bears is Jim McMahon, former BYU legend. Started his career in Chicago, ended it in Green Bay, played for 7 teams in the NFL, was on 1252 Sports, and said that the best franchise he played for in the NFL was the Green Bay Packers.
What?
Just twisting the knife in Chicago. Said it was the best team, the best organization I played for out of the 7 teams I played in the league for. By far, from top to bottom, it was great people. It wasn't even close. Now, remember, he had stint, obviously, was with the Bears, drafted in 82, won Super Bowl 20 as the starting quarterback, was there through 1988, then had stints with the Chargers, Eagles, Vikings, Cardinals, Browns, and Packers. Remember, he was Brett Favre's backup when the Packers won Super Bowl 31. And they said, the Bears have always emphasized defense in the running game and never been able to develop a quarterback. Here you go. The Chicago Bears, that's where quarterbacks go to die.
Oh, wow.
That was the Bears. I don't think that was on air, what Lloyd said.
Go ahead and say it on air, Lloyd.
All right.
this doesn't surprise me at all because they asked him, like, well, you know, do you keep track of the Bears? You know, what should they do in the draft? He goes, I don't know. I don't watch them. I don't care. I wouldn't know what they need or who they're thinking of even drafting. I don't even know who's even in the draft.
What's this all? Where's this coming from?
Some interview he gave. It's
No, but where's this animosity coming from?
I don't know if it's animosity as much as it's just. Oh, there's the link to it. But I think that it's just doesn't care, doesn't really like Chicago. I don't know. Maybe Chicago hasn't really wanted him back or invited him back for any of the reunions. I don't know where it's coming from. He's not wrong about the Bears and quarterbacks.
Last good quarterback for the Bears.
Rex Grossman.
I mean, let's see here.
Sexy Rexy.
Rex Grossman. Jay Cutler couldn't do anything there.
I would say Rex Grossman was better than Jay Cutler there.
Who was the neckbeard guy? Oh, Kyle Orton.
Rex Grossman's still better.
Grossman at least took him to a Super Bowl.
I know. I mean, they had a hell of a defense, but.
Oh, man. Rex Grossman was not a good quarterback.
He was their best quarterback.
He was very mediocre.
I think Jay Cutler was better than Grossman.
I don't know. Look at the numbers.
Trubisky was better than Grossman.
Oh, stop it.
I was never a fan of Rex Grossman.
Well, neither was I.
By the way, didn't the Bears trade up to get Trubisky and took him over Pat Mahomes?
I think you're right.
Did they?
I know the Bears passed on him. I just don't know if it was that year where they took Trubisky. Yep, they did. They traded up to number two to take Mitch Trubisky, the number two overall pick, traded, I believe, with San Francisco.
Wait, Trubisky went number two overall?
Number two overall by the Chicago Bears. Ugh. And then you go all the way down to number 10 when Kansas City traded up to get Buffalo's spot to take Patrick Mahomes. Steve Klauke's texting me right now. Thanks for that reminder. Yes, it was.
Bears are just bad with quarterbacks. So Jay Cutler's got the most starts for any quarterback in Bears history. Jim McMahon has the second most. Jim Harbaugh, the third most. Mitchell Trubisky, the fifth most. Mike Tomczak, the fifth most.
Good old Mike
Tomczak. Mike Tomczak, forgot about him.
Yep. Kyle Orton, Rex Grossman.
Yeah, but stat-wise, I think Rex Grossman was the best of any of them.
You really sink your teeth into this thing, haven't you?
Josh McCown.
By the way, so that 2007.
Cade McCown? Wasn't Cade McCown there too?
I think he was, yeah. So the 2017 draft, Cleveland takes Myles Garrett number one. Chicago trades up to take Trubisky at number two. The 49ers take Solomon Thomas. Jacksonville, Leonard Fournette. Tennessee, Corey Davis. The Jets, Jamal Adams. The Chargers take Mike Williams. The Panthers take Christian McCaffrey at eight. The Bengals take John Ross, and then you have Kansas City trading up to take Patrick Mahomes.
So which quarterbacks went before that?
Just Trubisky.
Just Trubisky.
But also, and I know, look, he's dealing with some stuff right now. I mean, some significant stuff. But Deshaun Watson went 12. I mean, the Bears could have had Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson. Instead, they take Trubisky.
Oh, man. I can't believe how big of a bust he was, though. I didn't expect him to be that big of a bust.
Pretty bad. I mean, that's John Elway kind of drafting right there.
Oh, John's done better than that.
Not with quarterbacks, he hasn't. Let's see.
Osweiler's good.
Osweiler was
great.
Okay,
what you're doing here.
But, you know, there's some guy named Russell Wilson who went like 40 spots after Osweiler.
He's done all right.
Just a bit, yeah. All right. There you go. There's your better. Let's get to the best.
And now, the best.
Well, if you're just tuning in and you have not heard the news, the newest part owner of the Utah Jazz is one Dwayne Wade. It was announced just at the beginning of this show that he had bought a minority ownership with the Utah Jazz, and he will be immediately implemented into kind of a role with the Utah Jazz. It has been said multiple times that he will have an active role with the Utah Jazz. And, Scotty, that has to be the best.
Really does, and really impressive to see. It is part of Ryan Smith's goal and vision for the Utah Jazz, not just as a NBA team, but a voice in the community, a voice in the country in terms of a platform for change, a platform for opportunities for those less fortunate. And I like the line from Dwayne Wade, whoever thought a kid from Chicago would ever be a part owner of an NBA team. That's got to be a big, big a feeling of accomplishment for him to be able to be a part of a team. And according to all the reports involved and the statements involved, Dwayne Wade, this is not just something that he wants to be able to tell his buddies about, that I'm a part owner of an NBA team. He wants to be actively involved. He wants to be involved in many different aspects of the Utah Jazz and wants to get to work. He is here in Salt Lake City. I imagine you'll probably see his face pop up on the Jumbotron and on your TV screens tonight or this afternoon for this Jazz game. And this is an exciting moment for the Jazz. This is a new Jazz team. This is a new direction for Utah Jazz basketball. And I think it's awesome. I think it's really cool, and it's fun to embrace.
And we'll start to see impacts of it. We'll start to see how this impacts. Well, just out of curiosity, it's going to be fun to kind of watch the TNT crew go back and forth with it. Obviously, Dwayne Wade has worked with that crew. How many years has he been on that crew?
Dwayne Wade?
Yeah.
Just a couple, isn't it? Yeah.
It's not very long.
Yeah.
But that Tuesday night crew, I think Dwayne Wade's the best part of it.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of the Jazz, some injury update news. Jordan Clarkson officially is a go. However, Derek Favors will not go tonight. So Derek Favors is out, and we'll sit this one out, and the Jazz will be we'll welcome back Derek Favors. Jordan Clarkson.
But Joe Ingles is a go as well.
Oh, yeah. Yep. So Derek Favors is the only player in the rotation that will not be going tonight.
This will be a fun game tonight. Well, today. Here in about 30 minutes.
It's hard to break you from saying tonight, isn't it?
I know, it is.
Yeah.
You don't call many 1 o'clock games.
No, sir. All right, take a break, come back. And remember, Jazz pregame is just 17 minutes away from right now. Hands and Scotty, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
The Big Show. The Big Show with Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
Did you hear Jordan Clarkson use the term even keel?
I don't get it too high, too low about nothing. I stay even keel.
Those of us who are sailors, we know what that is.
You're going to go to the origin of even keel. That's where we're going.
When a ship is trimmed evenly upon the water, drawing the same depth forward and aft, then that's even keel. And some ships sail better when they're brought by the head and others by the stern. Well, I don't want to get into it for those who have limited knowledge.
All right,
sailing.
Long John Silver, let's get back to talking about basketball.
Dr. Mermaid, guess what? Ahoy! I sail! I'm a sailor! I sail!
Keep sailing, Bob!
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
Hans and Scotty, time for another edition of Whole World News as we wrap up the show. That's right, we're done after this segment. However, you and I are going to stick around with Jake Scott for Jazz pregame. That'll go from 12 to 1 and then tip off at 1 o'clock. And again, a lot of breakdown on the Dwayne Wade news. Dwayne Wade, the newest part owner of the Utah Jazz. And we'll talk more about that. Spend a bunch of time talking about that in the pregame show coming up at noon with Jake Scott. All right, with that, Hans, time to span the globe. It's another edition of Whole World News.
Okay, so how many stories have you and I talked about throughout the years about people that find a wallet and they'll return it, or you know, somebody that ends up with money and they do the right thing with it? And yeah, we've had a lot of those stories, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is not that. So somehow every rally that happened on Wall Street, which was about $1.2 million, it's $1,205,619.56, somehow, Scotty, ended up in the account, in the personal account of a 911 dispatcher in Louisiana.
Yeah.
Her name is Kellen Spandoni. And she woke up one morning and she had expected an $86 deposit.
Okay.
And she woke up, and instead of it being $86, it was $1,205,619.56.
Ah, someone recognized all her hard work.
Well, she kind of maybe thought that. And, okay, so first of all, if you guys wake up tomorrow and you've got $1 million in your personal account, like what are your... I'm going to tell you what you need to do because this woman's in a lot of trouble.
You need to call your bank and say, hey, something's going on here. And you guys need to get this from my account before I go spend this money. Well, you know what I'd probably do, though? Is I'd probably go to the bank and I would take all of it out and put it in a cashier's check and then put it like in a safety deposit box and just let it sit there. And then if somebody's like, hey, that money wasn't yours, I'm like, okay, I kind of assumed that. So to be on the safe side, I have it here in this cashier's check, and here it is okay. For you.
All right.
But then if nobody says anything after
how long?
I'm going to probably need to sit on that for about.
Then maybe we're meeting in, say, Wantaneo.
Yeah. Or maybe I'm catching a flight, and I'm going to the Cayman Islands or wherever there's no, what do you call that?
Putting that money in a coffee can by a tree is what I'm doing.
You're going to want to give that 10 years. Like, you're going to want to.
I was going to say a year.
You're going to want to sit and really let that.
If I'm working somewhere else. Like maybe a different station. I don't know. I'm probably going to my bosses and I'm giving them the middle finger and I'm quitting.
After seeing this in your...
Yes. Yeah. Not here, but if I was somewhere else in the market.
Well,
I don't know. That might hurt my self-confidence. So.
Well, Miss Spadoni... Miss Spadoni, she withdrew it all.
Yeah.
And put it into a different account.
Okay.
And that day went and bought a beautiful new home.
Whoa, she bought a house?
Yes, that
day. All in one day?
In one day. Bought a beautiful new home and then bought a Hyundai Genesis SUV. So she got herself a new home.
I feel like that's a lot of paperwork in one day.
And a new car. And according to the Jefferson Parish... she was arrested on fraud and theft charges on April 7th. She was then fired as a dispatcher the same day that she was arrested.
That whole possession is 9/10 of the law doesn't necessarily apply here, apparently.
Well, this is what the officer said. He said, I think that most people understand about how much money is in their bank account. When you're expecting $80 and you get $1.2 million, there's probably something wrong there. So they're going to throw the book at her. She's 33. She's from Harvey, Louisiana.
That's whoever's putting that money in the account's fault.
Jeez.
They should be the one going to jail.
I kind of agree with you on that, but you can't just go on a spending spree the same day.
Houses and cars.
This is like when you go and you buy a house and they're like, okay, well, how would you like to do this? Well, do you take a debit card? Like
I don't know why I'm seeing the stepbrothers on a boat right now with all that money and all the bling.
Yeah.
Just dancing.
What's the song they sing, Lloyd?
Yeah, I don't think we need to say that.
Boats and my initials. So here's the thing, Scotty, listen to this. Here's the charges. She's being charged with bank fraud, illegal transmission of monetary funds, and theft greater than $25,000. She was a dispatcher for just over 4.5 years, making a very good living. But now it looks like she's going to be serving jail time.
Yeah. Yep. Not great.
The thought of it's really fun, though. Like, if I had $1 million, like, what would you do? If you had $1 million, you'd pay off your mortgage.
Oh, that'd be number one, yep. And then I would start the plans on remodeling the house.
Okay.
But I'm not doing that all in one day, by the way. Do you know how much paperwork that is to do in one day? Yeah.
Okay, but what if, like...
Yeah, but if you're on the press...
If you knew you weren't going to get caught, all right? Someone goes, Lloyd, I love you on the show. You guys are awesome. Here's $1 million.
Okay, rethinking this, the fact that she did it all in one day, she knew it wasn't gonna.
That's
fly.
Yeah, that's the
so. Point. So thinking about that, she did it because she knew she's like, well, I got to hurry up and spend this money. Oh,
she's
now.
Up to no good.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd do the same, Scott. I'd pay off the mortgage. Outside of that, I don't know what I'd do. $1 million doesn't go as far as it used to.
No.
You remember when we were young? If you knew a millionaire when you were young.
Oh, yeah. Everybody knew the millionaire. Like, that guy, he's got so much money.
Like, the only millionaire I knew of in Idaho was Simplot.
Yeah, by the way, Declo native.
J.R. Simplot?
Who'd you
say? Yeah. J.R. Simplot.
They said Sinbad.
No, Simplot.
What?
Yeah,
he's
oh yeah.
Idaho.
Well known Idaho. Entertainer, comedian.
Yeah. In fact, he worked on a farm in Declo in Cajun County, developed a creative method for feeding hogs, blah blah blah.
JR?
Yeah, JR. He had a place out there where a lot of kids my age worked in, like doing the landscaping and stuff, mowing lawns and stuff like that, keeping his place up.
He had a little money.
Just a bit, yeah. He did all right for himself. All right, Hans and Scotty. Hey, folks, that's it. That's all, folks. You and I are going to stick around, though, and help out Jake for Jazz pregame show.
We'll have a little fun.
We'll do it next, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.